Homegrown, the podcast, most mediocre podcast in the world. What the fuck is up? I'm not going to put a date on this episode. I mean, it is September, but I'm not putting a date on it because I'm having Wi-Fi issues. I literally had to go to Dunkin' Donuts to upload the last podcast. And for that, I apologize. I've been very absent. I apologize. I've been very busy. I'm now not busy. And well, I mean, I kind of am busy, but you guys know what I'm saying. Anyways, my internet should be getting fixed over the weekend. Hopefully. If not, I'm going to fucking explode. Xfinity's giving me the fucking full reach around right now. Anyways, Homegrown Podcast, what the fuck is up? I feel so bad that I've not even been constant with the episodes. I ain't even doing a fucking ad read. Go to the link in the bio. Okay, I actually am going to do one ad read. The fucking Homegrown Fight Co. is cooking up fucking merch. Okay, we have some badass shit on there. And I'm not saying that just because, like, I co-own it or fuck, yeah. I'm not co-curated or I don't even know what you'd say. Yeah, co-own. I'm not just saying it because I'm in on it. I'm saying that because it's a fucking fact. We got some badass shit. And if you need a rash guard, go to the link in the bio, Future Kimonos. We got that Gordon Ryan collection. We got an ADCC 2022 collection. Go check it out. And, of course, Origin Main Jocko Fuel. Link in the bio. Let's fucking get into it. I've really been looking forward to this episode. So, for context, you guys might potentially get an episode where I rank brand new albums and songs. It is already recorded. It's pre-recorded. And I mean brand new, like the band brand new. Not brand new, like new shit. Yeah, so you guys might get that episode. But essentially, I've been fighting with Xfinity for well over 2 weeks now about my internet. And it's literally, like, it's been such a motherfucker, dude. I had to go to Scotty's one day to upload a podcast, like, off his Wi-Fi. I had to go to Dunkin' today to release the episode that is titled, let me fucking look. I don't even remember. I don't even remember what I talked about today. And it was literally because I recorded the episode, like, last Sunday night, I recorded that shit. Literally forgot everything I talked about. Knew that it was done. Knew that it was fully edited. And I was like, fuck, I have to put something out. Also, if you're a fan of the Homegrown MMA show, you're going to get some new episodes soon. I have been working on those. But I will say, there's a team effort in the Homegrown MMA stuff. And one episode takes a lot of fucking research. So that is, it's being very carefully curated because, I want that to, like, so the Homegrown MMA show is essentially, like the MMA history book, but in podcast form. So it takes a lot of deep diving to get that shit, situated and those episodes wrote out. And they actually are scripted, by the way. I would say probably like 70% scripted. But they're really fun episodes. But anyways, you guys are getting more new shit soon. More history lessons on this show. And just a lot more shit. I moved. I think you guys knew that. I moved. And the Wi-Fi has been so fucking... It's been such a fucking mess, dude. Like, it's been a mess. And I've been using the hotspot on my fucking phone to watch TV, like, to be able to watch fucking, like, jiu-jitsu, like, Flow and UFC Fight Pass, ESPN and shit. It's so aggravating. But today, today, I said I wasn't going to date this episode, but I will give a hint. Today was the Ciryl Gane and Tai Tuivasa fight, which is fucking phenomenal. It's a great fight, honestly. Co-main event, Rob Whittaker. Rob Whittaker is the single greatest middleweight on the planet not named Izzy. Like, that was a Chael Sonnen-esque fucking explanation. I think he's more well-rounded than Izzy. I just think he can't get past Izzy, which really sucks. really sucks. Izzy's striking edges through, but Rob is so fucking clean and crisp everywhere the fight goes. But it was a fucking great card, man. Like, in between hot spotting that bullshit, it was pretty great. The worst part is, like, when people text me about fights lately, like, since I've moved to the new place, people text me about fights as they're happening, and my shit's, like, buffering, and I'm just like, holy fucking shit, dude, please don't ruin this for me. Like, please don't fuck this up for me. But that was a really good card. I guess the first BKFC Thailand card happened. And for those that know, you're gonna BKFC has this very special place in my heart. And I promise we're gonna be done talking about combat sports in just a second. BKFC holds a very special place in my heart. The Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, right? Because a couple years ago, I was supposed to be in a camp for one of the main card, actually the main event fighters. I was supposed to be in his camp for the very first BKFC. And a lot of you guys know, I had a really wild fucking incident that left my face and my mouth absolutely mangled. I got 4 new teeth. I had my tongue put back together, my lip put back together, my nostril reattached. It was a crazy, very traumatic accident. And so BKFC was so cool with me. They let me do media via via podcasting for them. And so I was more than definitely the very first podcaster to ever cover any of the BKFC fighters. And that, like, doing those interviews is what kickstarted my love of podcasting. So I'll always love BKFC. And recently, the very first BKFC fighter interview I ever done was with a guy named Reggie Barnett Jr. Reggie went missing for a number of days, which is, if you know Reggie, and we've kind of kept up throughout the years, if you know Reggie, you know it's very... unlike Reggie. And it was a very weird scenario. He is returned home now, but if you have been watching my social media, I don't think I posted that he was that he returned home, but he is home now. But something crazy happened over the weekend with BKFC. Is an Australian fighter named Ty Emery. She is sponsored by the adult film actress Kendra Lust. Ty Emery won at BKFC Thailand. She scored like a first round knockout and then runs on the ropes and flashes the audience members, just lifts her fucking sports bra, flashes everybody. And it went viral. I mean, of course, it went viral. But it went fucking viral, as things of that nature typically do. And so I'm going to hit this vape. Oh, yeah. I'm about to hit the bowl, too. But I'll probably fucking... I'll probably cut that out. Anyways, I'm left wondering whether it surprises me or not. Because BKFC has kind of emerged in this realm of combat sports that are working towards becoming more professional, right? The UFC now has uniforms, and for the most part, they watch what fighters say, and if fighters do say the wrong shit, sometimes they are reprimanded. And depending on how they act in public, most famously being... Khabib jumping out of the cage after the Conor McGregor fight, and then they refused to put the title on him in the cage, right? So, fighters are reprimanded now in the UFC. And in Bellator, it seems like they're pushing towards a more professional, production of things, with the lighting and the cameras and et cetera, et cetera. One championship, which is one of my favorite promotions to watch, one is very professional as far as lighting, sound, editing, And then social media presence, and then presence of the fighters as well. And so I look at this realm that we're in now, like this space that we're in now with combat sports, and I'm just like, wow, we're really getting fucking professional. And then fucking BKFC came up, and I was part of that train. I was interviewing the fighters. I was letting them say the most reckless shit ever. Like, I didn't give a fuck. Like, to me, it was content, right? But I did notice that they were very fucking unprofessional. The very first couple pay-per-views, you know, sound would drop off or just little shit like that, you know, stuff you could almost be like, well, that was expected. But then the fighters' personalities started coming out. Like, we had Britton Hart talk about she's not a person, she's a feeling. And you know, they sign guys that have left big promotions, right? They've left the UFC, they've left Bellator, they've left here, they've left there. And they've typically signed larger-than-life personalities, right? They just recently signed Mike Perry, who beat MVP, mind you. Michael Venom Page, which is, in any combat sport, that's a feat to beat Michael Venom Page. And Mike Perry beat him in bare knuckle boxing, man, that's impressive. But Mike Perry is one of the personalities they've signed. So BKFC, to me, lives outside of the realm of professional organizations. And it's almost viewed like a rough and rowdy brawl. And for those that don't know Rough and Rowdy, I've mentioned it multiple times on here, but it was a promotion in West Virginia owned by the same people that owned a promotion called Ruckus in the Cage. And Ruckus in the Cage was the literal most unprofessional organization I've ever fucking fought for. And Rough and Rowdy was like their boxing spinoff. And then it got bought by Barstool, and now it's a literal fucking freak show. And to me, BKFC lives in that realm, that fucking freak show, weird realm. And the thing is like, I love bare knuckle boxing. I love, like, there's guys like Tyler Goodjohn, right, from the UK. Like, the UK's bare knuckle boxing. I think it's BKB. It's an excellent promotion, right? And I might be wrong on the promotion, but like, wherever Tyler Goodjohn came from, I watched, when he came to BKFC, I watched a lot of his fights, and that promotion that he was under was great. And I just looked at how they operated in the UK, and I realized that BKFC relies heavily on shock value or personality to carry the show, right? Which in turn makes him a fucking freak show in the grand scheme of shit. And so, when Ty Emery flashed a crowd after scoring a knockout finish, I feel like most people would have been like, oh, that's fucking wild. Not me. I literally didn't even bat an eye. I just said, huh. That is where I'm at with BKFC. That was a very long, drawn-out explanation. But that is exactly where I'm at with BKFC. I was just like, huh. Well, that's cool. Like, that's so fucking, it's so weird. Kendra Lust sponsored Ty Emery, actually. Recently, Karma RX had a grappling match with Aries FC, actually. Karma RX is another adult film actress. And Kendra Lust has a podcast with Julian Marquez called the Kendra and Julian Show, I think, or something. I like that MMA is a safe space for people of all backgrounds, I guess, is what I'm getting at. I do like that, though. I like that mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, etc., is kind of accepting of others the way it is. BKFC, they're in a fucking, they're in a league of their own. That's, yeah. Moving on. Country music singer Luke Bell. He was the 2018 Ameripolitan Award winner in the outlaw country genre. Luke Bell tragically passed away last week. And here's the thing about Luke Bell. Luke Bell was a phenomenal outlaw country, like honky-tonk country artist, right? And I think that a majority of the problem with Luke Bell is like people just didn't know who he was. He was actually scheduled to go on tour with Warren Zeders, I think. But Luke was in Tucson, Arizona. If you've ever been to Arizona, I think all of Arizona is just absolutely fucking breathtaking gorgeous. But Luke is in Arizona with one of his bandmates. And his bandmate goes in a store, and Luke is waiting in the truck. And when his bandmate comes back, Luke is not in the truck anymore. And he was missing for, I think, about 10 days. They filed a missing persons report. They're looking for him all over. It comes out that Luke has severe bipolar disorder. And then I think this Wednesday, I believe, was the day that he was found dead. And that is very tragic news to the, not only to the country music, not only to outlaw country, but to the country music genre in general, because Luke Bell was fucking great. He has a song called Where Are You Now? And he has another one called The Bullfighter. And if anybody's ever listened to Luke Bell and maybe not known, Windows Security Virus Internet Protection Update Virus Protection. Fuck you, dude. Sorry. If anybody's not listened to him, if anybody's listened to him and just not been aware, it probably was the song The Bullfighter because it's a fucking great song. But the Homegrown MMA Show, Homegrown the Podcast, and the Homegrown Fight Co. extend our love and our well wishes to his family because, like I said, that's a blow to outlaw country. It's a blow to true country music. I mean, he was fucking great, man. He was really great. He had this sound that was very classic country, very country western roots. So it's fucking sad, man. And I made this parallel connection in my head that is a tad morbid now, but I'm going to share with you because we're 17 minutes in. Luke Bell and Reggie Barnett both went missing around the same time. And in my lifetime, I don't remember there ever being two people that were in my realm, I guess, that went missing at the same time. And I mean that in the sense that, like, I'm friends, decent friends. I'm really good acquaintances with Reggie, and I was listening to Luke pretty regularly. And they both went missing at the same time. It was very fucking strange. To the point where I was like, man, my fucking simulation is... my simulation's fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, my shit's just a little fucking out there. But, you know, such is life. Speaking of fucking simulations being fucked up, I seen this fucking news article. I screenshotted this shit because it blew my fucking mind. It says, Kodak Black doesn't let his kid watch Minnie Mouse because she's a rat. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Check the sources. Apparently he said it. I don't know how much to believe of what Kodak says. Because I think Kodak is a lot smarter than he lets on to be. And I think he does troll people pretty hard sometimes. But this sounds like it could be legit. Like, this sounds like this is so fucking stupid that it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that just eclipses the brain a little bit. I fucking screenshot it. I was like, no fucking way. I put it in my pocket. I was like, I'm going to podcast about this fucking idiot later. His new album's fucking great, though. The new Kodak album, I'm fucking with it pretty hard. It doesn't make him any less of an idiot, though. Facts. I have a friend named Trey. And Trey used to listen to that song, what's that, Melly guy? He had like an acronym before his name or something. It was Melly, and he had that song Murder on My Mind. And Trey used to listen to that song. And one day he was like, you like the song? And I was like, no, dude, I hate every time you listen to it. He was like, why? And I was like, man, that guy killed his fucking friends. And Trey told me the realest bit of shit ever. He was like, yeah, but that don't affect me. He was like, it sounds good. He was like, it doesn't affect me. And I try to take that same, like the same bit of information through anything in life, right? Kodak Black denying his daughter the ability to watch Mickey Mouse. Hey, dude, that's not bothering me. I mean, it sucks for your kid. My kid, like, Sadie loves Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse and fucking Pluto and Donald Duck. Like, she loves the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And seeing the enjoyment that she gets from that, like, it lights my eyes up, dude. And if Kodak's gonna deny his daughter that, then hey, more power to you, dude. It doesn't stop you from being a fucking idiot. But it's also not stopping me from bumping fucking Super Gremlin on my way to the gym, because that shit is the epic fucking pump-up jam. That's my shit. Moving on. I wanted to talk for a moment about Andrew Tate. I'm so fucking sick. I hear the cat's little bell ringing. I can already tell. It's the mic's definitely picking it up. I'm so tired of everybody sucking Andrew Tate's dick lately. Andrew Tate is a literal fucking rapist who literally went to a country where he cannot be jailed for rape charges. He literally is a rapist. And people are still quoting him and sharing all of his shit. In my mind, he lands in, you know, I have a celebrity scale in my head, right? Where I'm just like, there's a section of, like, people I think I could be friends with, right? And, you know, in that section, you know, Johnny Depp, you know, Vince Vaughn, right? I think Vince Vaughn and I could get along pretty good. Bradley Cooper is probably a homie of mine. Aaron Rodgers, even though he's a, you know, he's a quarterback, but he's still a celebrity. We'd probably be friends, right? On the other side, celebrities that I would more than definitely beef with and TMZ would write article after article about, Andrew Tate is at the top of the fucking list. He is a literal fucking idiot. I almost said a bad word. He's a literal fucking idiot. I put Jake Paul on that same list, but they are polar fucking opposites. People hate Jake Paul because Jake Paul's famous and he's doing whatever the fuck he wants. Right? That's not the reason I hate him. I hate him because he's ignorant as fuck. But people hate Jake Paul because he's ignorant. They hate him because he's famous, right? But they love Andrew Tate. And they're just like, oh, Andrew Tate would start Jake Paul. Well, yeah, that's fucking accurate. Andrew Tate is a literal athlete. Jake Paul was a fucking YouTuber turned into an athlete, okay? The experience in Andrew Tate's kickboxing record is 100% legit. But he is a garbage fucking human. I hope if they do fight, it's a double fucking knockout. I hope they crack each other like straight right fucking hooks. And I hope it connects at the same time. Anyways, I don't understand. If anybody listening is a fan of Andrew Tate, can you please just email the podcast or just message me on Instagram and just let me know why you like him? Because I truly don't understand the fixation on this total fucking piece of shit. You know who? I like John McAfee. And people are shitting all over him lately. But they're praising Andrew Tate. John McAfee, to my knowledge, never raped anybody. He was just, you know, he had like 7 fucking girlfriends. You know, he killed his neighbor. Which, I'm not mad about that. I've had neighbors that I wanted to fucking kill. I understand it. Yeah, he liked recreational drugs. Who fucking doesn't? John McAfee's not a bad guy. Andrew Tate, that guy fucking sucks. I listened to the John McAfee podcast the other day. Well, we watched the show on Netflix, too, but I listened to the podcast. It's called The Devil is in the Details, and it's fucking phenomenal. Rocco Bortoror, I don't know, whatever his fucking name is. The guy that used to be the editor-in-chief at Vice, he done a fucking great job. And Vice is usually pretty fucking garbage, but he done a great fucking job. He left Vice too. So, anyways, that's a fucking great podcast. And if you follow along and you keep up with everything, I mean, John McAfee was somebody that suffered from fucking paranoia, drug-induced paranoia. And as I said, he more than definitely killed his neighbor. But hey, who's not fucking been there? You know what I mean? Let me tell you, when I was growing up, I accidentally fucking shot and killed my neighbor. And, I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyways, the moral of the story is people are shitting all over this guy who truthfully done nothing wrong except being a multimillionaire tweaker, right? But they're praising fucking Andrew Tate. It blows my mind. Blows my mind. I don't understand it at all. That dude sucks. I'm going to round this podcast out with two more things. I bought a book from Amazon. I've not started it yet. It's coming in the mail tomorrow. I bought a book called Diary of an Oxygen Thief. And the author's name is anonymous. It's a New York Times bestseller. Has anyone read this book? It came out in 2006. It's been around for a minute now. It has two sequels to it. I'm very excited to read it. From what I read online, it looks very good. I actually seen it. I was in Books A Million and seen it. And then I went home and looked it up to see what it was about. Because I was like, it just looks interesting. And it seemed interesting enough. If you've read it, shoot me a message. Let me know how you liked it. I went to Books A Million. I was looking for Ryan Holiday books. Stillness Is Key was the main novel I was looking for. Ryan Holiday is like a modern day stoic. He's a philosopher. He's fucking great. And I've mentioned it a couple times. I'm auditing a philosophy class right now for University of Michigan. I'm really into philosophy, more specifically stoicism. And I have a project that is philosophy based. It's gonna be really, really cool. But I'm really into philosophy because I was looking for this book and then I found Diary of an Oxygen Thief and I was like, it looks very interesting. I ordered it on Amazon. It was like 10 fucking bucks. So if you read it, let me know how it is. And I'm closing this podcast by talking about the last fucking thing here. I love Joe Rogan. Okay? Facts. I love Joe Rogan. And so he is the only fucking reason that I have Spotify. Because after the weekly forecast, and Scotty and I fought with the fucking cocksmoker liberal cucks at fucking Spotify, I deleted the app. But then I re-downloaded it when Joe Rogan got that fucking huge deal or whatever. I love Joe Rogan's podcast. And recently he had two guests on that blew my fucking mind. Number one, Mark Zuckerberg. Okay? Mark Zuckerberg was a very perplexing listen. Because I feel like people hate on Mark for no good reason, really. Sure, Facebook, the metaverse, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, that shit's invasive to your privacy, right? But in the same token, you also let it be. You let it be invasive by giving out so much information for free. And listening to Mark talked a lot about MMA and jiu-jitsu, and I finally seen a video today of him, training. He doesn't look bad. He said that if he could live the rest of his life just training MMA or training jiu-jitsu and surfing, that's exactly what he'd do. I feel the same fucking way. Like, if I could just fucking surf and train, like, full time, fuck, dude. Like, it's the dream. He talks about when things on Facebook get flagged for misinformation, right? And this is the whole reason I brought up Zuckerberg first, because I feel like a lot of people probably skipped that episode. And if you're listening to me, I'm going to tell you exactly what he said about misinformation. Is they hired a third-party company to monitor content, and then they get to label it as misinformation, right? Which is why so many videos and pictures that aren't actually graphic get labeled as graphic, is because they make mistakes. And apparently he doesn't deal with that side at all. So if you are mad at Mark Zuckerberg for flagging something of yours, there is a 125% chance he has no idea what it is. He's very interested in the metaverse just for what it can do for social interaction. And I think that's very fascinating. And he was actually a very fascinating listen, and I actually really enjoyed it. And the second guest that really perplexed me was Aaron Rodgers. You guys have heard me say on here multiple times, my favorite college quarterback ever, Johnny Manziel. My favorite pro quarterback ever, Aaron Rodgers, dude. Aaron Rodgers is the fucking GOAT, okay? Now, that comes with a little bitty asterisk because I'm a Gardner Minshew fan to death, okay? Gardner is my boy. I hate that he went to Philly. I hate he left the Jags. It is what it is, right? Aaron Rodgers, by all accounts, is your typical jock, right? He looks like a guy that would be captain of the football team and then grows up to be captain of a pro football team, right? Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, just talked about, he talked a lot about Trump, he shit on Joe Biden, and he talked about ayahuasca and his ayahuasca journey. I truly think Aaron Rodgers could be the older version of me. And if this simulation turns out to be pretty accurate, then I am also Aaron Rodgers. And that's fucking cool, dude. That's pretty cool. I'm cool with being Aaron Rodgers. I don't know where I was going with that. Aaron Rodgers is a cool guy. If you haven't listened to that episode, check it out. And then I'm really into Aubrey Marcus and Onnit and everything that him and Joe done with Onnit. But Aubrey Marcus had Aaron on his podcast, and they talked about ayahuasca again and DMT and mushrooms and plant medicine. Aaron is super into plant medicine and healing the brain and healing internal trauma. And he talked about it on Joe Rogan too. And I love that Aaron Rodgers was the guy that came out and said it. Because recently we had a three-part episode series where I talked about Aaron Hernandez and the trauma that CTE has left, not only on Aaron's legacy, not only on Aaron's legacy, this little fucker. Come here. Come on. Not only the trauma it left on Aaron's legacy, but the trauma it left on his family, the victims' families. And Aaron Rodgers is giving people what they need to hear. He's giving them what the fuck is your deal? Yeah. He's giving them all the information they need about helping with brain trauma and helping like mental trauma, right? Ayahuasca, DMT, mushrooms, it is plant medicine. If you're comfortable taking Tylenol, but you are not comfortable ingesting a low dose of psilocybin mushrooms, what the fuck is going on here? I'm preaching to the choir, baby. Come here and sit down. Anyways, if you're cool with taking Tylenol or Advil or fucking you're down in a 30 rack every week, but you're uncomfortable with a small dose of mushrooms to heal your brain, something is wrong with you. I'm ending this podcast, and I'm more than definitely going to choke this fucking cat. I love you guys. Hit the link in the bio. Adios.